Luke chapter number 2. If you're able to stand, we're going to read several verses. We're going to read the full story here. But if you're able to stand, would you stand with us? And I'm going to begin reading in verse number 1, Luke chapter 2. The Bible says, "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth." Now, Nazareth is way up in the kind of the northern part of Israel. Bethlehem is in the southern part of Israel. But he went into Judea under the city of David, which is called Bethlehem because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, "Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these sayings and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. And you'll notice back in verse number 7, that old cliche, because there was no room for them in the inn. And that's what I want to preach on this morning, on that thought, when we don't make room for Jesus. There are some Christians this morning that have made a lot of time for a lot of things during the holidays, but they didn't have time to come to church this morning. They didn't have time to read their Bible. And they don't have time in their life right now for the things of God. And I want to show you, as a child of God, and then also those that are lost without Christ, what we miss out on when we don't make room for Jesus. I hope it'll challenge you today. Let's pray together. Lord, would you bless the message? Challenge our hearts today from your word. I pray if someone is lost without Christ, that today they'll be saved. And I pray for those of us that are saved and been born again. And Lord, that we would evaluate, are we where we ought to be in our Christian life as we end this year? Move into another year, Lord, as you, if you tarry your coming, Lord, that we might be who we're supposed to be, doing what we're supposed to be doing. Help us, Lord, to evaluate if we're making room for the things of God today. Help us to get it right, get it corrected. If not, bless, I pray, bless our two children's churches going on right now. Do a work in there. We'll ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Several years ago now, in fact, I think it was, I think Josh is 19. I think it was on his 12th birthday, maybe his 13th, but I think it was his 12th birthday. Our family, my wife and Sarah and Josh and myself, we were headed to Tennessee for vacation. And this particular trip, we went with the Orms family. I remember Brent Stacy and Brother Trent was still a young person at that time. And little Cameron, who's over in Hawaii now, and married. Y'all believe he's married? I mean, he's been married a while now. But Cameron was, and I don't remember if Kylie was there or not. She's always been the old woman of the family, so she was already away at college. There you go. And seeing what she could drag back to us. So we had went, because our kids were always kind of the same age. And it was on a Saturday. The Orms left a few hours ahead of us, which is the way I think you ought to travel when you go as a group, for all you people going on your 14 vacations in the next month. Give people some private time. And so they had headed on ahead of us, and we actually got to go, but my grandfather, my mom's dad, it was his 90th birthday. And remember, we had that big party at his church for him there. And he even said there, he said, it's like a living wake. I get to see all of my friends and my family. But it was his 90th birthday there. And so we had to go to Dallas that morning. And so I did not pre-reserve a hotel room for Saturday night, because I didn't know what time we were going to get away from Dallas and get on the road. Well, we headed out Interstate 30 and then got on 40 there in Arkansas. And once we got close to Little Rock, I realized that, you know, it was getting a little bit late in the evening. We were getting tired and we were going to need to stop for the night. And so I called ahead to Memphis, which would be about an hour and a half, couple hours further from Little Rock. I called ahead to Memphis, looked on, you know, the GPS, and I'm looking at all the hotels and trying to find a place to stay. And everywhere I called, it said no vacancy. We don't have any vacancy, no vacancy, or they wouldn't answer the phone. So I started looking further down the road. I think I had Miss Audie driving and was looking at the phone, or maybe vice versa. She was looking at it for me. And we looked over to Jackson, Tennessee, which is a great place to stop, and they have some stuff there. But anyhow, and every hotel was saying no vacancy, no vacancy, no vacancy. I said, all right, just keep looking. We'll keep driving. Now it's getting really late in the evening, 10, 11 o'clock at night, midnight. I said, let's look. So we're looking at all the little towns along the way there on Interstate 40. Every sign said no vacancy. Every call said no vacancy, except for those that just wouldn't answer the phone to begin with. We started looking around the Nashville area. I was ready to sleep on a bench if I have to. We're calling Nashville. Nashville is 3 hours from Memphis to Nashville. It's a long stretch across there. No vacancy. We start calling down to Murfreesboro, because the Orms had gone to Murfreesboro. We were all going to go to Tony Hudson's church the next morning. And so we start calling there. No vacancy, no vacancy, no vacancy. We finally got to a place in Murfreesboro. And I said, ma'am, I went into a place. I said, do you have any vacancies? She said, we have no room in the inn. She said, we don't have any. I said, ma'am, we need to be at church at 10 a.m. right here across town. It was by the time we got to a place, it was 3 a.m. on Sunday. I still believe you go to church on Sunday and it's the Lord's day and it's not our day to do what we want with. And so I said, ma'am, do you have anything? Do you have a mop closet? Do you have something where I can get my family? We have come a long ways journey. And I got a son. He probably doesn't need a bath, but my wife and my daughter, they like to clean up a little bit for church. And she said, I can't, but she was sweet. She said, you know what? I'll help you. I'll call down the road to another hotel. And she got us a place. Listen, we got into that hotel at 3 a.m. in the morning. Now, some of you are going to think I'm nuts right here because you're not married, but I paid nearly $300 for that room for 5 hours. It was such a nice place. I've never even been to a place like that. Such a nice place for breakfast. They had glass plates. Glass plates. I mean, it was a place you want to stay a little longer. And we were debating, you know, everybody backslides from time to time. Not everybody. You don't have to go to church, go to heaven. My wife's like, you get up right now. But anyways, yes. So I learned a valuable lesson. And the lesson there was, and I've never made this mistake again, if you wait too late at night, hotels have vacancies. They just quit filling it. They either, number one, they're not going to mess with you, or they think, like I tried to convince that hotel, they think, well, if we let everybody come in at 3 a.m. and pay $100 on a $300 room, everybody's going to start doing that. And so, I mean, they would give me no break at all. But it was worth it to me, because I knew that my family needed a place to stay, and I knew my wife and daughter definitely needed to clean up a little bit for church. I didn't want to be the family that stunk at a visiting church. And so I paid a very high price, and I learned a lesson, and hopefully that won't ever happen again. Now, could you imagine not being in a nice truck on a nice interstate. Could you imagine perhaps riding a donkey and being 9 months pregnant? And you show up in this town of Bethlehem, and, you know, the husband probably just didn't think, you know, go to Travelocity.com. He probably didn't get his cell phone out and try to find Bethlehem, you know, places to stay in Bethlehem. Well, how are you going to do that? They didn't even have Morse code back then. How are you going to do that? He shows up thinking, well, surely there's going to be a place to stay. And they knock at the innkeeper's door only to be told, we don't have any vacancy. I paid a high price for not realizing that you can't get a room oftentimes late at night. But can I say to you that it was not Joseph and Mary that paid the high price for finding a place with no vacancy? I believe if you read into the story or you kind of read between the lines, I believe it was the innkeeper that paid the high price and that he missed out on some things because he did not make room for Jesus. Now, maybe there's someone here today and you're lost without Christ. If you died right now, you don't know where you would go, heaven or hell. You don't know. I went to a funeral yesterday, took my parents to a funeral, one of their kind of preacher friends, and it was a two-hour funeral. I don't know if I've ever been in a funeral that long, but it was a two-hour funeral. But this fellow's grandson got up, and he told some memories of his grandfather, and he said, but one of my greatest memories of old Pawpaw is that he said he led me to Christ in my room one night, and I got saved. And man, what a great testimony for that young man to remember his grandpa by. But I wonder, in your life, do you remember the day that the Lord saved you? Not that your mama told you you were saved or that he raised you up from a surgery, but I mean, the moment in time. I know when I got saved, got truly born again in June of 1997, right here at this altar after my dad had preached and given the invitation. I remember the day that the Lord saved me, and I truly got it settled. Is that you this morning? Do you know that you're saved? Or maybe you haven't made room for Jesus in your life. Maybe you're a born-again Christian. I know that many in here, most in here, you are a born-again Christian, and you have a testimony of salvation, and you have a testimony of the things of God in your life. But friend, listen, as our schedules get busy and our holidays get busy, if we're not careful, we will crowd out the things of God in our life. We like to use Revelation 3:20 as a salvation message. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. But friend, listen to me. That follows up two chapters of letters to local churches. Local churches. And the last one is a church of the Laodiceans. It wasn't even really a church of the Lord. It wasn't in Laodicea. He said it was a church of the Laodiceans. They were doing their own thing. And he said, you're lukewarm. I'd rather you be hot or cold. And it's like they said, you know, we're going to do it our way. We're going to have church our way. We're going to have religion our way. But we really don't have time for all that Bible stuff. And he says, you know what? I'm on the outside looking in to some of my local churches. Well, you know, the local church is not the building, right? Thank God for the facilities. Thank God for that. But the local church is made up of the body of Christ, born again, baptized believers that God puts here as it pleases him. And I wonder how many of us today, the Lord's saying, hello. Hello, I know you're going to the aunts, and I know you're going to grandma's, and I know you got to get that final shopping in, and I know you got a lot going on this time of year, but hello, is he standing at the door knocking saying, what happened? I know you're here this morning, but maybe some say, what happened to your church attendance? What happened to your Bible time? What happened to your witnessing? What happened to praying? What happened to talking with me? I want you to know this morning that God wants to be a daily part of each of our lives, not just a Sunday friend. I thank God that we can come to the house of God and we can worship the Lord together, but you can wake up tomorrow and worship the Lord tomorrow and get in your Bible and sing the same songs that Brother Richard led us in today. You can sing that, ooh, 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 clothes like you're in the Texas Boys Choir. You can look like Snoopy on top of his doghouse if you had to. Doesn't matter, because you're make a joyful noise unto the Lord. That's why so many people struggle when they come in Wednesday night, because they ain't had anything to do with God since Sunday night. Make room for Jesus. The Bible says this in 2 Chronicles 15, and the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Obed. He's the man of God in the passage. He went out to meet Asa and said unto him, hear ye me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you while you be with him. And if you seek him, he will be found of you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. Now for a long season, Israel hath been without the true God and without a teaching priest and without law. But when they in their trouble did turn unto the Lord God of Israel and sought him, he was found of them. The Lord wants to be close in your life. It was the prodigal son that walked away from the father. The father did not walk away from the prodigal son. And when the prodigal son realized that he had gotten to a place where he'd gotten away from the father, he just turned around and went back in the same direction he came in. And I've heard someone say, it's a long road home, but it's worth it. I want you to know, as I heard an old preacher, Brother Don Green, say years ago, he said, you can be as close to God as you want to be. The Bible says in James 4:4-8, draw nigh to God, and he'll draw nigh to you. He'll meet you halfway. The father went running and hugged his son's neck. Why in the world would you want to live your life without the Lord? In the busy world that we live in today, let me encourage you to make room for Jesus. The psalmist said, evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. Whether saved or unsaved, when we don't make room for Jesus, there are some things that we miss out on in our life. And that's what I want to give you today. I want to show you some things that we miss out on when we don't make room for Jesus. Look at Luke chapter number 2, back in our text there, in Luke chapter number 2. And Mary and Joseph came, and they had the baby, and had the baby in the womb. And by the way, young people, just so you know it, growing up in this crazy world, when a lady has a baby in the womb, the Bible says she is with child. Amen. Okay, she is with child. That is a child in that womb. That is not a woman's right to murder a baby. It's not a husband's right to decide that. That child is a gift of God, and it may have been born through a sinful situation, but God can still use that, just like he used King Solomon, who was born in a sinful situation. It is not your right in this feminist day and age. It is not your right to choose. That may be your body, which it's not. It's God's. But that you're with child, the Bible says. Now, when we don't make room for Jesus, number one, we miss out on God's presence. In Luke chapter 2, verse 11, it says, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. The Bible records for us in Matthew that the angel told Joseph about his wife having a baby. And he said, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. So when the innkeeper said, I just don't have any room, he missed out on the presence of God himself in the person of Jesus Christ being born there in one of his rooms. Now, you and I need to be as close to God as we can be. And as I said a moment ago, we can be as close as we want to be. When God sent Moses toward the promised land, Moses said, Lord, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. Do we live every day like we need God? Or do we go about our days without even acknowledging his presence in our life? It was Jacob that said, surely the presence of the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. If you're a child of God, God is with you daily in the presence of his word, in the presence of the indwelling Holy Spirit, and in our opportunity to pray and approach the throne room of grace. But do we appreciate that? Or does our Bible just collect dust during the week? Do we appreciate the opportunity to pray? Or are we so busy talking to everybody else on the phone, we don't have time to put the phone down and get on the line with God? Do we acknowledge the presence of the Holy Spirit? Do we walk into a store and say, God, would you guide me? Would you help me? God, would you tell me no when it's no and yes when it's yes? And God, would you show me a sale? Would you show me a right deal? And God, would you control my... Or we just go in the flesh and, man, we do what we want, how we want, pick up the pieces later. We're missing out on God's presence. Oh, he's there, right? I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. I realize that. But, you know, every spouse in here knows what it means to be ignored. You're still married, but you get so busy if you're not careful. It's all kid time. It's all mama time. It's all shopping time. It's all this. And the spouse is going, over here. And God forbid that God would have to do that. When we say, you know, I just haven't had time. You know, I don't have time for Wednesday night church. And I just don't have time to get involved. We miss out on God's presence. Number two is this. What I see here in the passage is, number two, that we miss out on great joy. We miss out on great joy when we don't make room for Jesus. Okay, so, and we don't know this guy. It wasn't a wrong motive. He just simply didn't have any room. But at the same time, I was thinking about this after I wrote the message. I was thinking about this the other day, driving down the road, that you know, they knew Messiah was coming. And think about it. John the Baptist was Jesus' cousin. He was also the forerunner for Christ. So he's 6 months older. So word had to be getting around that John the Baptist was born. You know, if you wanted to believe the prophet, you could have believed. So this guy could have. This guy could have said, oh, I know who this is. Absolutely. I'll go sleep in the manger. You take my room. And when he said, I just don't have room right now, he missed out on great joy. Because we see it in Luke chapter 2 and verse number 8, the shepherds got to experience great joy. The Bible says they were in the same country, shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. They were sore afraid. The angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Look at verse 16, when they see the Lord. Verse 16, they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning the child. And all they that heard it wondered at these things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these sayings in her heart. And the shepherds returned, listen to this, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen. And it was told unto them. The shepherds experienced great joy overseeing Jesus. The innkeeper could have been standing there as after that baby was born and seeing that newborn babe, and he could have experienced the same great joy, but he just didn't make room for Jesus. The Bible tells us in Psalm 16:11, thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. I don't know why lately. Normally I'll get gas in my truck, and if I'm going somewhere, you know, I'm going to make sure I fill up. But several times over the past couple of months, I don't know if it's just busy or wanting to get down the road, but several times I've let my fuel light come on. And it says, you know, you have 50 miles to empty. And I was somewhere the other day, and normally I like to get gas at exact certain places. Bucky's is cheap. QT is, everything's cheap now. You'd think there's an election coming up in the next year. Yeah, but we'll take what we can get. We can get it, right? And so normally I'll stop at Bucky's and or QT or Mobile here in town. But man, the other day I looked and I was down like 30 miles. And I'm calculating, all right, can I make it from Terrell to Will's Point? I was in downtown Terrell, and I'm thinking, man, I can't. And I finally had to stop somewhere else. And guess what? I sat there for a few minutes and filled that up. And you say, man, I'm just not happy right now. All I can tell you, you stop with all this therapist. I need my emotional support speaker, you know. The more I listen to the speaker, the happier I get. And I'm not mocking you, but I'm telling you, all I can do as a preacher of truth is preach you the truth. in thy presence is fullness of joy. Walking with God, making Him important. Stop making excuses for disobedience in your life and say, I'm in all the way. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. All the people around David in the Old Testament, they were discouraged. They were depressed. But the Bible says that David encouraged himself in the Lord. Many Christians are disheartened today because they've made time for anyone and anything, but they don't have room and time to spend with Jesus. Nehemiah said, the joy of the Lord is your strength. The psalmist said, my soul shall be joyful in the Lord. When David fell into sin and crowded out the Lord, what did he lose? He lost the joy of his salvation. John the Baptist was in his mother's womb, Elizabeth. And Elizabeth and Mary were cousins. And when Mary's pregnant with Jesus, Elizabeth is 6 months further pregnant with John the Baptist. And when Mary walks in the room with Elizabeth, John the Baptist, the Bible records it, John the Baptist, that baby leaped for joy, the Bible says, in his mother's womb. Why is that? Because that baby knew he was in the presence of the Lord in this new year. I hope you get your bills caught up. I hope your health is better. I hope you find you a better job. I hope your dreams come true. But friend, listen, you're never going to have the joy God wants you to have until you're walking with God as you should. None of that's going to replace. Lester Roloff used to say that. He said, you know, people put those advertisements out drinking beer and smoking cigarettes and saying, this is the life. He said, that ain't the life. You got to have a hangover to have that life. You die of cancer to have that kind of life. He said, Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by me. You want to have a good year next year? I can't promise you everything's going to be great. It rains on the just and the unjust. But all I can tell you is fullness of joy comes from walking in the presence of the Lord. And the innkeeper did what many of us say. I just don't have time for that right now. And man, I'm so busy. But one day I'm going to get obedient. One day I'm going to start this. You just got to make it happen. There's something about balance, about being right with God, about walking in His will and being happy in the Lord. But when we don't make room for Jesus, we miss out on God's presence. We miss out on great joy. And number three, we miss out on good things. Look at Luke chapter number one, when Mary is talking to Elizabeth. Mary just breaks out in a praise to the Lord. In verse 46, Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. How would you like to be a mama and have to call your kid your Savior? Imagine being, Jesus had other brothers and sisters. He had other brothers. Mary and Joseph had kids after Jesus. You imagine that home? You just think you're so perfect because you're the oldest. How old are you? Everlasting? No. All right. Look at what happened here, though. She's magnifying the Lord, and she says, I'm going to skip a little bit for sake of time, but she is just praising God. She says in verse 53, he hath filled the hungry with good things. Now, I want to make an observation. You know that the Bible never records, in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are the stories of Christ while he was here on earth. The Bible never records Jesus ever going back to Bethlehem. Not one day. Not one time. I've got to think that if the innkeeper had made room for Jesus, or rather, think about on the cross of Calvary, who was Jesus concerned with? His mama, right? His mama. He made sure she was taken care of. I got to think if that innkeeper had taken care of his mama, it's just an assumption, but Jesus probably at some point would have returned back to that town. I don't know. Maybe it said, be thou larger in or something. And God would have just, I don't know what the Lord would have done. But he never returned. He never returned to that town. I wonder what good thing that innkeeper missed out on because he wouldn't make room for Jesus. I wonder how many good things we're missing out on. Listen, folks, God did not intend the Christian life to be the just get by another day. Man, God wants to bless you with happiness and with a family that loves one another. And it's not all about money in the bank. It's not all about the best of health. It's waking up and saying, man, I'm saved. It's waking up and being able to call maybe your spouse or your children or your parents. Thought about this yesterday sitting in that funeral. A lot of folks in here aging. A lot of my heroes were in that room yesterday. And I'm watching them all, and they're all aging. You know, one day it's going to be the last Christmas. I hear people say this, and it makes me so stinking mad. I've heard people say, well, we just decided this year we're not doing for parents anymore. And I think, you stinking moron. Don't do for you. But why in the world would you say, well, we ain't going to do for parents anymore because we got to take care of so much other stuff? Who brought you into this world? Who put up with your little snot nose when you're that mouthy little kid? Who changed your diapers? Who funded your life? Who helped you? Listen to me. It's going to be your last Christmas one day. We got some widows in our church, and it was the last Christmas at some point. And you kids, you keep on, and you keep on with your attitude. And nobody has promised to live 70 and 80 and 90 years old. And one day, you say, I don't have any money. A note means as much to parents as anything in the world. Unless you've got a job at a salon or something, and then they expect you to cough it up a little bit. You know, month's worth of free haircuts or something. But you keep on with all this stuff, all this attitude towards parents, and dishonoring mom and dad and all this stuff. And one of these days, you're going to look up at Christmas. It's going to be over with. And I'm not trying to discourage you this morning. I'm just saying to you that we ought to be a blessing to one another. And we ought to thank God that He daily loads us with benefits. The Bible tells us in Matthew chapter number 7, ask and it shall be given you, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, he that seeketh findeth, to him that knocketh it shall be opened. What man is there of you whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? If he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask Him. I wonder, are we missing out on good things? Are we missing out on God's blessings by not making room and time for Jesus in our daily lives? When we don't make room for Jesus, we miss out on God's presence. We miss out on great joy. We miss out on good things. And then lastly, I believe we miss out on guaranteed success. Guaranteed success. There, when in Luke 2:7, when the innkeeper said there's just no room for them in the inn. Now, you got to give me some liberty, and I'm certainly not being disrespectful here, but you got to give me some liberty here. Think with me. What if his sign could have said, come see the room the Savior was born in? Y'all understand Graceland in Memphis is still making all kinds of money, and Elvis died in the 70s. We got to see where he lived. You got to think the old innkeeper was kicking himself, thinking, man, what kind of success could he have had? Come see Motel Jesus or something. He might have renamed it. We don't know. But I tell you this. I wonder how much more blessed our lives would be if we would just yield it all to Him. Make room for Him. Walk according to His word. And let God direct our path. I'm glad we have all the age groups that we have in our church. We have every age group. And I'm so thankful for that. I'm glad we've got the older folks full of experience and wisdom. And many of them, most of them are sweet to talk to in the hall. I'm glad we have that. I'm glad we have folks in their 40s and 50s who've lived a little bit and who've raised our kids, or maybe the kids are getting a little bit older in the home. And I'm glad. And I'm glad we have folks in their 30s who are getting more settled in life and kind of know where they are and where they're headed, know who they are. I'm glad we have those of you in your 20s who have so much energy. And I feel sorry for those of you in your 20s who act like you're 80. I feel sorry for you if that's your life in your 20s. Come on. Good grief. You better live while you can. You're going to wake up one day over the hill. You know what rolls downhill very quick? You and me. And I'm not discounting. I know there are health troubles. What I'm saying is, dream in your 20s. Dream in your teens. God's got bigger dreams for you than you have for yourself. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. But if you leave out the will of God, I don't care how much money you make. I don't care if you marry the best looking thing in town. I don't care how big your house is, how nice your truck or your car is one day. The Bible says that we are to obey God. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make the way prosperous. And the only time in the Bible this word is used, then thou shalt have good success. I think when we don't make room for Jesus and do things God's way, we miss out on guaranteed success. The innkeeper missed out on God's presence. He missed out on great joy. He missed out on good things. He missed out on guaranteed success. Are you missing out today? I thought of this song. We don't sing it, but I thought of it the other day, and I didn't even know the song. I just thought, there is a song titled, "Have You Any Room for Jesus?" And I looked it up. It's actually in our songbook. If I wasn't so lazy, we might have sung it tonight or something, but oh, it's a beautiful song. Look it up on YouTube. And "Have You Any Room for Jesus?" It's a beautiful hymnal. It says, "Have you any room for Jesus? He who bore your load of sin? As he knocks and asks admission, sinners, will you let him in? Room for pleasure, room for business, but for Christ the crucified, not a place that he can enter in the heart for which he died. Have you any room for Jesus? As in grace he calls again. Oh, today is time accepted. Tomorrow you may call in vain. Room and time now give to Jesus. Soon will pass God's day of grace. Soon thy heart left cold and silent, and thy Savior's pleading cease. Room for Jesus, King of glory. Hasten now his word obey. Swing the heart's door widely open. Bid him enter while you may." Yes, if you're lost today without Christ, if you've never asked God to forgive you of your sins and save your soul, young person, you need to be saved today. Adults, you need to be saved today. But Christians, it was not the sinner's door he was knocking at. It was the Christian who said, "I just not right now in my life." And in 23 years of pastoring, can't tell how many times I've heard this. Brother Glenn Anderson's heard it. My dad's heard it in pastoring. "Preacher, one of these days, I'm going to," and then they start filling in the blank. Today's a pretty good day. Today's a pretty good day to get saved. You can say, "I got saved Christmas week, 2023. You can look up six months from now in 2024 and say, "You know what? I'm glad that those last couple of Sundays of December 2023, I'm glad that I decided, you know what? I've crowded the Lord out. It's time to get back in my Bible. It's time to get faithful to church again. It's time to start obeying God. It's time to start sharing the good news of Jesus Christ." Have you any room for Jesus? Will your answer be what the innkeeper's answer was? No room. Will your answer be, as I call hotel after hotel, "No room, no room, no room, no room, no room, no room"? Is that the answer every time the Holy Spirit calls you? No room, no room, no time. One day, one of these days. Why not today? You just open that door and say, "Lord, I want you to have all of me in this new year."